Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM. Good morning. So what if you had a relative who had achieved so much that you could just never compare? I mean, I feel sorry for my own siblings a lot of the time, to be honest with you. Anyway, James McNicholas is a writer, a comedian and an actor, but he isn't fit to shine the shoes of his granddad, who was a boxing world champion, among loads of other cool stuff. James took time to compare the two in his new book. It's called The Champ and the Chump, which is out now, and he joins me on the line. James, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you. Now, can you explain as simply as you can what kind of a guy your granddad was and what did he achieve?
Yeah, he was quite an extraordinary man. His name was Terry Downes. He grew up in Paddington in London in quite a poor area. And he went on, as you say, to become world middleweight champion in 1961. But much more than that, he was just a real larger-than-life character. He had a quite incredible story that would make quite a good book in its own right. Did all sorts of crazy things, ended up becoming a bit of a film star. Once did a joyride through the gates of Buckingham Palace and did donuts in the drive in front of the Queen's house. He just really lived life to the absolute full. He was an incredible character. And yeah, you're right. I've spent my life kind of living in the shadow of his legacy, for sure.
You had a lovely relationship with him. What are some of your favourite memories of him?
Well, it's really interesting because as much as he was this, you know, larger than life celebrity figure in the 60s and 70s, the man I knew was very different. I knew an old man, you know, smoking his pipe, walking with a stick. But we did have some incredible times together and we were very close. I mean, I spent a lot of time in my childhood at my grandparents' house. He was forever getting me sort of doing jobs around the house for him, doing chores. You know, he put me to work plenty, but he had an unconventional approach to things. I mean, this is a man who once tried to kill a bat that had got into the house with fly spray. He did things his own way. And it makes for a lot of, I hope, enjoyable anecdotes in the book.
When did it stop being something cool and start being something that made you feel like you were a bit of a failure?
Well, when did it start feeling like, I mean, it's always been like that to an extent. You know, I say in the book, I've never been quite sure if I'm standing on the shoulders of a giant or just perpetually in one shadow. And it has always been like that with Terry. He was this huge sort of patriarchal figure, you know, in the boxing world, sure, but in our family too. This very overtly masculine character who lived life in the fast lane and was, you know, literally one of the toughest men on the planet. And by contrast, I'm a very, very soft, untough kind of guy, an actor, a comedian, and writer, like you say. I'm the kind of guy who spends my life getting punched in the face rather than punching people. Always seems to be on the end of an accident. So I've always felt a bit like that. And it kind of, you know, what started as a book sort of just about Terry and about the kind of man he was kind of inevitably became a bit about the kind of man I am too. And hopefully will resonate with people because I think everyone feels like their parents or certainly their grandparents were probably tougher than them, probably lived a harder life than them. I just think in the case of Terry Downes, my grandfather, it's particularly exaggerated.
In fairness, you turned it on its head and you made a hit one-man show about it. How did it feel to write the story?
It was a strange one, I'll be honest, because Terry died in 2017 and towards the end of 2017. And it was a huge blow to me and to my family. Like I said, we were all incredibly close. And then after about a year or so, I realized that, you know, I hadn't really dealt with it. And the way I decided to do it was by putting together this one man show, which kind of alternated between telling Terry's life story and my life story. And it was like you say, it was a little bit of a hit and we were performing it right up until the pandemic actually struck. We had to close down shows in the West End. But then the opportunity came up to turn that into a book. And it was really exciting to me because, you know, there's such a richness to Terry's story that telling it in just an hour, I think, which was how long the show was insufficient, really. I mean, to give you some indication, there's an audio book of The Champ and the Chump, and it's over 9 hours long. So Wow. We really have been able to investigate a lot more of the detail. We've been able to sort of go into some of the skeletons in the closet, which I didn't do so much in the live show, and just explore, I think, you know, his story, my story, and kind of the emotional resonance of the disparity between them. So it's a very different beast, a book to a show. But I've enjoyed it. I have enjoyed doing it.
You and your granddad certainly had one thing in common. You both grew up with addiction in the house. What mm-hmm. was that like for you? And do you think it affected your granddad?
I do think it did. I mean, his dad was a chronic gambler and it was a real problem. And actually, you know, it's interesting. I think that the level of discipline with which Terry lived his life, I think may have been a bit of a response to that. And my parents, both in their sort of earlier lives, suffered with drinking problems when I was a child. Fortunately, they're very much over that now and flourishing. But when I was growing up, it was difficult. And I think if you look at kind of basic theory about this stuff, kids of addicts often grow up sort of wanting to achieve a kind of independence and
want to. Or comedians. They grow up to be comedians, don't they?
Yeah, they grow up to be comedians. So I think that's true, yeah. And that was certainly true in my case. And, you know, I can't help but make light of that part of my background. And Terry as well, he had an extraordinary sense of humour. And that was, I think, what made him a star. You know, yeah. He wasn't just a guy who could fight in the ring, but he could throw one or two verbal jabs as well. He knew how to sell a fight. And the other interesting, fascinating, I think, thing about him is that in later life, he actually became a bookmaker. You know, when betting shops were permitted in the 60s in the UK, he invested in that substantially. And in a funny kind of way, it kept his dad at least sort of on his turf. You know, he knew where he was. He knew he was covering his losses. It's a kind of tragic element to that story. But yeah, it's definitely been a factor in both our upbringings. And it's one of the parallels, one of the things that throughout the book enabled me to feel a little bit closer to Terry and maybe like we had more in common than I first thought.
There are so many laughs in the book at your expense. Will you tell us about the time your mum abandoned you in a car with a monkey?
Oh, man. I mean, where to begin? I mean, we were in Gibraltar where, you know, there's some monkeys roam wild. And we were in a car because we were on holiday. The car had a sunroof. I was there with my mum and my grandma. I was an infant. I don't actually remember it myself, but I've had it recounted to me many times. Basically, one of these, I think they're Barbary macaques, climbed in through the sunroof and got into the back of the car with me in the baby seat. And rather than, you know, rescue me, shoo the monkey off or anything like that, my mum and grandma both just fled the car immediately, leaving me in there with this simian interloper. And basically my theory is that any sort of insecurity or paranoia or neuroticism that I have been left with in adult life probably stems from that one moment being abandoned by my own mother in the back of a car with an ape. our relationship has recovered from it, don't get me wrong. But I think, you know,
a lot of therapy.
A lot of therapy required for that. Apparently they took some shelter with these American tourists. And my grandma always laughs when she recalls them shouting, "Oh my God, look at that poor little guy. He's terrified." And then she just bursts into laughter. And I think, that was me. That was me. You're left in the back of the car. I had to get over it and I had to deal with it. I actually don't know to this day how the monkey got out of the car. Maybe I did fight it off with my little infant hand. I don't
know. Oh, amazing. It's a great read. But I have to ask you, what did you learn anything about yourself in writing this book?
For sure, I did. I mean, you know, one of the reasons I think boxing is compelling and the reason that it's always sort of fascinated me a little bit from a distance is that at the heart of it, I think, is the comeback story. You know, if you think of all the great boxing movies, which we're obsessed with, even if we don't love the sport, it's always about the comeback. It's always about fighting back. And, you know, without going too much away, in the course of the book, I went through plenty of struggles of my own. I wound up with this kind of neurological disorder, which made me dizzy all the time. Ironically enough, it made me feel like I'd been in a fight, even though I am by nature a pacifist. And actually, Terry's story is a comeback story too. You know, he suffers setbacks in his boxing career, but he fights back from them. And I took a lot of heart from that. And I guess, you know, if you ask me what the book is about, of course, it's, you know, it's kind of about a boxer you've never really heard of. But I think what it is deep down is really it's about getting back up when you've been knocked down. And hopefully that's something a lot of people will identify with.
James McAnicholas, a new book, The Champ and the Chump, is out now. James, thanks so much for joining me today and best of luck with everything.
Cheers.
Thanks so
love.
Much for having me. Bye-bye. There we go. That is James. We'll be right back.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.